Hello, everyone. We're back. That when your knuckle hits the wrong dial on your mixing board.
Well, we are the Film Thugs.
Hi, everybody. He's Clarkson. I'm Jim. We've been doing this for far too long for such shenaniganry to be afoot. But, you know, as you love us, we're the Film Thugs. Barbaric. And we are as barbaric as ever. And don't you forget it. Welcome aboard. Oh, man. Yeah.
Malice.
Oh, dude. No. There's a lot of dumb shit that happens. Yes. For our behind the paywall listeners, we're still blown away by somebody being jealous of a dog.
Yeah.
So yeah,
do that. Have a story. Pay up, happens. Sucker.
Yeah, pay up, sucker. Let the cash cross my palm. But anyway, welcome aboard, everyone. It's so great to be here. So great to have you here.
Hi. So great to be had.
Yeah. So we watched
the parade of Clarkson's ideas.
Yeah,
just keeps on trucking.
Air quotes need be thrown up hard and high on this one. Movie. My Demon Lover. Mm-hmm. So back in the
back to back family ties. Tie-ins.
Hell yeah! It's amazing what we got going these days. It really kind of blows me away. God,
the hot tag goes to Owen.
Yeah. That was a good one.
That was solid.
He
let us know via socials that he was well aware of Skippy from Family Ties, and that there was another Family Ties movie, and he sent me a picture of the box art.
Oh yeah,
of My Demon Lover. I'm like, oh shit, I've seen that too many times. He's like, me too. I'm like, I'll do that sometime.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we'll do it next.
Yeah, let's do it next. Why not?
So blame Owen.
The line that still blows my mind from this is, "Sex, you hit the jackpot." Like, good Lord, that character was designed for my 12/13-year-old self.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this was back when I didn't know that there were different types of movies insofar as quality went. You remember those innocent days when it was like, oh yeah, it's a movie, it's a movie. And Scott Valentine hits Family Ties playing Nick, the artist boyfriend.
Right.
And he was interesting, he was whatever, but it was one of those characters that showed up for one or two things and then not quite Urkeled, but sort of Urkeled out to a point where I do think they tried a spinoff with him that didn't work.
Oh my God.
It's one of those where I think they tried to backdoor pilot some him as the artist shit in that just didn't work because...
Scott Valentine,
yeah, clearly. But this, I remember seeing this and being like, oh, so like this has to be like baseball. He was on the minor leagues
TV.
Now he's got his movie, so he's going to, ooh, and it's My Demon Lover. This is some, you know, that sounds like it's going to be clever. It's fitting into this and this horror thing, a comedy. Sure.
It's a
why
romp.
Not? And Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the director, Charlie Loventhal, or Lowenthal, I get whatever.
Yeah.
Loventhal. We'll go with Loventhal.
Lowenstein.
He had a name for himself sort of early on in school because he made a few things. He made a movie called The First Time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of, not heralded, but locally approved of as sort of a Woody Allen-esque kind of quirky characters.
Okay.
There's a whole thing about he was sort of upset with his pretentious film classes where they would be like, well, here's a movie of someone just turning a wheel.
And, right.
You know, how to get the gleam on the nails just right. That kind of thing. Found it pretentious. And,
right.
And one dude just something, why can't these be movies? Well, they can.
Yeah.
There's a whole market for just throwaway stuff.
Yes.
Or fast food movies or whatever.
Exactly, yes,
you know, just
yes.
Lighthearted.
It's the majority of film.
Lighthearted, whatever.
Yeah.
I think what was missing, and I haven't seen The First Time, which he wrote and directed, I think, as far as the writing, because his success with that, after a fashion, got him, because it was right in the time that New Line was coming up.
Right.
As a studio.
Uh-huh. Bob Shea from New Line got
on
it.
And he got involved with them, and he was presented with this project. He didn't write anything of My Demon Lover.
This was just, here's the
like,
thing.
Here, you do this.
This might fit your sensibility.
Right. And so I believe he is quoted as saying, the only good thing to come out of this was his relationship with Scott Valentine, because they apparently have stayed friends ever since.
I'm not surprised he's a good fella.
Co-produce and co-finance Deuces Wild.
Okay.
See, co-produce.
Yeah.
You're in the movies, you got a buddy,
yeah,
like your producer.
Yeah.
Co-finance.
That's where it gets interesting.
Co-finance.
Yeah.
What did Scott Valentine do?
Yeah.
Clearly something with his money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deuces Wild wasn't cheap.
Nope.
Not.
Which one was Deuces Wild?
It's the one with, I always get him confused. Dorf.
Oh, okay.
Not the real Dorf.
Okay. Oh, Steven Dorf. Okay,
Steven Dorf.
Yeah.
So it has like a doo-wop soundtrack.
Okay, yes, yes, okay, yeah.
It's like Goodfellas-ish kind of.
Okay.
It was actually executive produced by Martin Scorsese.
Not bad.
But he decided to go uncredited on it.
Oh, that's not great.
So,
yeah. All right. So he gets something that gives him enough whatever
to, you know, make a name for himself. As far as I could tell, he only had the first time, My Demon Lover, Mr. Right with Paul Reiser. Oh, hilarious.
Wow.
And
then
something called the Meat Market, M-E-E-T Market.
Okay.
I haven't seen any of these things. The only thing of Charlie's work has been My Demon Lover entirely too many times.
Do you remember back when, like, Paul Reiser was a comedian that was like, oh, cool, Paul Reiser, he's funny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite Paul Reiser story of all time, forever.
Yes.
Will be when Nicole went to see the original cast production of Rent in New York, standing outside, got all the cast members to sign her program, along with Paul Reiser, who just happened to be there. And Paul thought she wanted his autograph.
Why not?
I love that.
It's Step Brothers, A Samurai Sword signed by Randy Jackson.
Yeah.
Level. I'm not going to get his autograph.
She was just like, well,
why would you decide I wanted this?
Like, why would you think I'd want your autograph on my cast signed program of Rent?
Fucking, who was that old motherfucker that Howard Stern would have on sometimes who... He's the old school comedian that...
You're not going to shame my integrity.
Yeah.
That guy?
Yeah.
Pat Cooper. Pat Cooper.
Yeah. And they were like, he signed that. They have this fucking, like, Sirius XM has this, like, autograph wall that they have people like Springsteen. Mm-hmm. Fucking Pat Cooper is like, you're not going to tell Pat Cooper what's going to... I know. I've got, like, who the fuck are you? You, like, seriously, go work at the fucking Derby or the whatever, but you're not...
Yeah, aren't the ponies running today?
Yeah, Jesus.
You strike
Christ.
Me as that sort of feller.
Yeah, yeah. Go I gotta get. Don't worry. I don't gotta be there till noon. Yeah. Don't tell me what I don't know.
There, I downloaded a few articles about Charlie Leventhal, but I found myself more interested in what badmovies.org had to say.
Okay.
Quick aside about badmovies.org. Talk about getting in on the ground floor.
Right.
What's the name of your website about bad movies?
Badmovies.org.
Okay, then.
Shit. You were 20 minutes late on getting .com.
Yeah, no shit. Jesus. So good job. Okay. From this website, the plot of My Demon Lover. I'm dedicating this one for Valentine's Day. Can't say I didn't enjoy the soundtrack, though. The 80s were good for something besides sex, it seems. Thank goodness I was in high school, and there were only minor amounts of that flying around. Oh, that's sad. Mm-hmm. And that's bad movies. What a fine piece of work a film is when some guy sprouts horns and wings when a girl bounces on sans bra. Poor Denny is cursed. She says... She manages to pick up scumbags, but big deal, sister, we're all bums, and her last boyfriend stole everything. So she runs into Kaz, K-A-Z, who is a bum, and turns into a monster upon arousal. He's such a nice guy, and it's just the inside that counts. Haha. He writes, haha. These two goofballs fall in love after she feeds him a fruit burger. He spends half the film calling her that, too. Hey, fruit burger, want to take a shower? Great line. Classic. While trying to deal with the fact that Kaz transforms into something disgusting every time they attempt intimacy. There's another problem. The mangler. Seems that women are being attacked and Kaz is afraid he's the one doing it during his transformations. Charles is the demon to blame, along with being a complete stereotype dork, all caps. He's also a Pazatsky. You listen to them say it a few times, then get critical about my spelling. Like Kaz, except he is a violent one with full control over the curse. So those two fight on top of a castle in Central Park to see who gets the gal. It was a pretty fun film, especially the... What? Especially the totally random guy who burps, expires, and falls asleep face down on a plate of health food that he is eating.
Larry Bud Melman.
That's right. Not a first date movie. Get a relationship going first, or you'll end up as a single person again. He has things I learned from the movie.
Oh, nice.
When her boyfriend steals all the furniture, it's fairly safe to say the relationship's over. New York subway trains make colors and tracks. Never make eye contact with a dork. Health food puree will kill you. Fruit burgers are nasty. Glass doorknobs make cheap crystal balls. Curio shops stock genuine demon-slaying daggers. Satan hates chocolate. Your mother's head is full of mustard. Not explaining that one.
Yeah.
Climbing a ladder in tight jeans is difficult. There's a giant medieval castle in the middle of Central Park. Apparently.
There's a lot to learn here.
Stuff to watch for. 5 minutes in. Gads, I hate these guys. Go play your saxophone on some other train, you bum. 14 minutes in. No close your eyes in the store, or is this the 80s? Well, that's true.
Yeah.
28 minutes in. 2 second rule at work. Yeah. 39 minutes in. Rowl. 40 minutes in. His ear sucked into his head. 42 minutes in. Thought he was going to say herpes, didn't you? It's true. You're 55 in. Go on. Kiss him. It's only a mild case of possession.
Yeah.
60 minutes in. Clean your face. Oh, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
68. Doors locked. Ha ha ha. Ending credits. There was a part called Frumpy Woman. There you go. Badmovies.org.
Nice. Oh, I think you might want to open the door for Steve. He's being a little bit of a butthole. He's being a bit. Thank you.
Kick rock, Steve.
Yeah. Fuck off. Fugazi.
So, yeah. All the usual stuff. Budget $4 million. Box office $3.9 million. That's got a sting, huh?
It really does. I mean,
you were that close
to breaking even. Like that. Fuck. It was right there, but somehow.
Nope.
So here's. I think I might have a reason why it didn't make money.
That's not good.
It doesn't make sense and is not good. It's bad, and everyone who was involved in it feels like they don't know what they're doing in making movies.
Want to hear about what Rotten Tomatoes has to say?
Yeah, oh, you know that I do.
Brian Orndorff, Blu-ray.com. Another one got in the fucking basement.
God, yeah.
It's a Tim Burton-ist production without Tim Burton, making for an uneven viewing experience with sometimes questionable characterizations. I fail to see even a fucking shadow of Tim Burton.
I could see Tim Burton pulling this off if they leaned into the Tim, like Tim Burton doing a movie about a guy who wants to find love but turns into it. Yeah, like I could totally see Burton doing
that. I'll concede your point. There's three reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for this. All three are bad. Second review. My Demon Lover is from Robert Hurlbert from South Florida Sun Sentinel. My Demon Lover is not a film without merit, but it's very close. Third review is from Emmanuel Levy. EmmanuelLevy.com.
Okay, well, that's getting on the ground floor.
Nothing.
Just
a rotten.
It's not a film without merit, but it's close.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, in So I Married an Axe Murderer, no one knows what Charlie does for a living.
Correct.
In this, it's fairly certain this man is homeless. It is like fairly direct that this man is homeless.
Yes, he is homeless.
And what it takes for him to get with this cute little girl.
Right, with her squeaky infantile voice.
Yes, is to wake up in garbage, steal her food, spit that food on her.
Yes.
Insult her over the food that you stole and then spit on her.
Yep.
Stalk and harass her.
All the way back home.
Mm-hmm. And then Pazatsky save her when her ex-boyfriend attacks her.
Yeah. Scares him away.
Yeah.
after he almost beats her.
Yeah, and never fucking mentioned again.
No.
That boyfriend, well, he might be mentioned again, but no sign of him, no anything.
He's mentioned
anything,
again
he's
because
gone.
Later on in the development of this relationship, in quotes,
yeah.
she mentions that Kaz reminds her of Rocco, mm-hmm. who is said abusive asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
Which it's just another line in there that doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, nothing in that. Yeah.
Interesting point you bring up with So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yes.
I would put these in the same
vein. Yeah.
Right?
I can
just
see
fun
that.
Fun movies,
yes.
whatever.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But So I Married an Axe Murderer is fun.
Yes.
And funny.
Yes.
And
this
makes
one.
Sense in the world that it inhabits.
Yes, it does. Yes.
This does none of those things.
It doesn't. Yeah.
In fact, again, I've seen this movie probably 4 or 5 times
yeah.
when I was a teenager, 12,
yes.
13 years old.
Yes.
Because it was always on cable.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fucking terrible movie.
It is.
But I don't remember that middle scene at all.
Yeah.
There's a mid scene, given this Pazotsky's curse.
Uh-huh.
He changes to different things
yeah.
every time he turns.
Yes.
Until the last part of the movie,
yeah.
where he turns into...
The
full, same thing.
Yeah, the same thing, yeah.
Whatever. So in the middle of the movie, he turns into different things, turns into the date that wouldn't leave that we're supposed to know.
Yeah.
Maybe a dated reference at that point. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then turns into her mother.
Yeah.
And then she smashes
the head. Yeah.
And it turns into gross mustard.
Yes.
The head disappears.
Uh-huh.
And then it's the effects guy's attempt at
yeah.
like a thing-esque
yes.
effect.
But it fails.
It fails.
Because it's just covered in blended up all Bar S products.
Yeah. It's blended Bar S hot dogs.
With tamales and their chili sauce.
Derby canned tamales
yeah.
in sauce with these weird tentacle things that makes it grosser
yeah.
and darker
yes.
than
it should be.
Than anything
yeah.
with this it should be.
It has no business.
It's really fucking weird.
You're not wrong.
It's really weird.
It really is unsettling and off-putting.
It you don't know
uh-uh.
what you're supposed to make of this.
You really don't. Nothing in this shit makes sense.
Other than that, it's pretty straightforward. He made out with some Polish chick or Romanian
yeah.
chick when he was in middle school.
Yeah.
Grandmother cursed him with Romanian magic.
Yeah, which... First off,
which you know happens all the time,
fucking overreaction.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, it was not as though he was accosting that young woman.
No,
that young woman seemed to be a willing and enthusiastic participant.
Yeah, she was entertaining callers.
Yeah, so we're gonna fucking curse you for life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inconsistent in a lot of ways because it's I can't be attracted to a woman, but I'm a horn. Like, he is one of the horniest movie characters.
Yeah, up until he meets and I guess starts having feelings for our heroine.
Yeah,
he is just a completely there. First of all, everyone's yeah. unlikable.
Everybody in this movie is unlikable.
Except,
every single person.
Except what's her name?
The hot one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Even she's not great.
Not that likable.
Not
yeah.
really. Just in comparison.
She's attractive enough to make her
right.
unlikability
a little better.
Yeah.
He is just a complete asshole.
He's
first
a total
of all,
fucking asshole.
He's a musician on a subway.
Oh, yeah. Just, okay, I'm going to stop
not
playing.
Not in the subway.
No.
On the train.
On the train. Yeah.
Playing a saxophone.
And getting in people's faces and talking to them and shit.
Right, right.
You know, an unsolicited public music performance in a
yeah.
space where you're trapped in a hand can't really do anything about it.
And when he's not doing that, he is groping women.
Like, openly groping women. He literally laid hands on 2 different women
uh-huh.
within about a 40-second time span
yes.
in the beginning of this movie. It's
straight
like,
up grabs one woman by her hips on
yeah,
the street.
Yeah. Like, did shit that I'm like, this is thus far the only creepy person in this movie on any level has been you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, and then like
it's very uneven with that because you don't know how to feel about your and I guess because of the plot line, is he the hero or is he the villain?
So here's the thing that I'll even put down here. Maybe what it does is there's a demon that's super horny. that's always trying to get out and be super horny.
Right.
And he's trying to fight against it, because if he gives in to the horny, then the demon starts taking over.
Right. That makes way
more sense. So much more sense. Works so much better, because then it's some guy who's trying to stay away from women, so it's why he can't keep a job. And then so when it does, nah, come here, and he's grabbing ladies and shit, it's, oh, he's fighting against the demon.
No, not established. Nope. If that's somewhere in the script, it is not portrayed.
It is not portrayed at all.
No. It just, at one point for, I don't know, at least a good 25 minutes of the movie, it feels like.
Yeah.
He's a complete dipshit, scumbag.
Like the horniest of horny 80s characters.
Yeah. And they literally like, woman, kind of horny.
Yeah. And he says the word woman a lot.
Until Fidget there shows him, you know, some kindness.
And then he's like, nah.
No, it's because reasons.
Yeah. And then for some reason, she has just decided, look, I have bad taste in men in the past.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to get hurt again. I want to make sure that my next relationship has the potential to be meaningful and powerful. So I'm going to go with the horniest homeless man that has ever stolen food from me.
Yes.
And I'm all in less than a day.
Yeah. It's like half a montage
of them
doing things in an afternoon.
Yeah, playing in a park, like Thunderdome in it.
Yeah, playing in a park, eating a hot dog, jumping off a hydrant.
Yeah.
You know, it's about a 3-hour trip in Midtown.
Exactly, yeah. It's like they walked to a place to get a hot dog and then walked home.
Yeah.
That was it.
Come back, alakazam, I'm in love.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Exposition tells him he's been cursed.
Now, see, here's that. Remember that time that you wanted to get laid and someone shot a lightning bolt just above your penis?
Right.
Do you remember when that?
Yeah.
You know how you've forgotten the time that, you're right.
Remember that time a Romanian crone threw a lightning bolt at your cock?
Yeah.
Is that misty in the mist of time?
Have you ever been solidly punched in the cock and forgotten about it?
No.
If there was lightning involved?
No. I would probably, that would be my opening conversation starter with most people.
Yeah. One time I had lightning hit me right here.
Right above my cock.
Directly between my belly button and my penis. Boy, it makes belts fit weird.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Way weirder than my scar I've had since I was a baby.
It's weird. No. I was a teenager making out with this very accommodating and enthusiastic Romanian girl. And then her grandma did not take it well. And she was like, pa-ka-za-ka-ta-ka-ta, and boom.
Pazowski with prejudice.
Yep. Bam. Yeah. The rest of my life, I'm fucking homeless. But they don't go into any of it.
Yeah. So any form of arousal...
Mm-hmm.
Makes Chaz, Kaz, whatever his fucking name is, sprout demonic aspects physically. Eyes, horns, ear disappearing, turning to somebody's mother with a head full of chowder. But that is the thing with this movie, is that though the degree of which that arousal does this is very inconsistent.
It's very inconsistent. Sometimes it's a peek at the top of boobs on a subway car.
Demonize.
Another time it's a full dry hump sex session with the hottest person in the movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. To then become full demon and be able to fly.
Yeah, and that they're still clothed the entire time in that.
Yes.
Even though he pops up with a cigarette, that level of belting and cinching cannot just be redone in the middle of nowhere. Like, no.
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 Not at all.
Can't be done. It's unheard of. Unacceptable, and it's bullshit. That, honestly, I'm not going to lie, ruined the illusion more than anything in this movie. I was in it until that. I was like, no.
If they had just gone with the main problem being the possession.
Yes.
I think this movie would have had a better chance, at least, of being, if maybe not any more fun or good, at least more coherent.
Yeah.
Because there's so much service to, spoilers, the dork that we're introduced to being the actual strangler or mangler or whatever.
So obvious that he is.
But for the twist at the end, where, I'm also a demon. I was cursed by the same lady.
Right.
Okay. Well, because you have to set up this thing where our boy here and these attacks are going on at the same time, they want to head fake you into thinking that Scott is the one doing it.
Right.
Or he's worried that he's the one.
Yeah.
All the while this other guy is doing it.
Yeah, and it's very clear that he's not.
Yeah.
It's very clear who's doing
it. Yeah, it's very, very clear. So all of that service that has to go into that, including the other character and that plot line, is just bogging down what's a perfectly good problem all on its own for something like this.
Yes.
So I don't know. Don't know. It feels a lot like our director here got this project and was just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Well, script says this, we're doing it.
What if we then take it for, because I'm sitting here coming up with millions of scenarios that make it work better. The curse me. Oh, you wanted to just have a good time with my granddaughter? Then you're only ever going to have a good time. And he's basically cursed you. If you ever start having feelings in a relationship, then this demon comes out. But otherwise, all you can have is...
You can never be in love.
Exactly.
So he's just like a ladies' man.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And then starts catching feels and turns into
a demon. And then there's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're already, and it's a better vehicle for romance.
Yeah. We've improved every aspect of this by putting just a little bit into thought. A little bit of thought into, hey, let's add one sentence to the setup.
Right. Yeah.
That's literally all that it takes.
You could have started the movie like that.
Yeah.
With that scene.
Yeah.
And then we start up with a guy who's not a bum, not playing a saxophone on a train, not living literally in a pile of trash.
Yes. The first time she sees him, he is waking up on a pile, and she tolerates it.
Yeah. It's
weird.
Even the super wacky broad world.
Yes.
It's really asking a lot of you.
And it was, who's our main character? Because very much the way the movie starts out, she is.
Yes.
Because we're following her, except it would have been so great if it had been that dude.
Just that one dude.
And that opening shot. Yeah. Oh, man. Her walking down the street, and all of a sudden there's just some guy dead center as it fades out. That would have been the best.
Yeah.
Should have been about him, but it's not. It's about...
But I'll give this movie this one token.
Yes.
This one faint praise, but praise nonetheless.
Yes.
They have shots of New York City.
Yes.
And it looks like New York City.
Yes, it's not a filthy shit den.
Correct.
It's just New York City.
It's just New York. Oh, lots and lots of fucking people.
So many people everywhere.
Yep.
Except where a demon's running around.
Well, yes.
Then it's oddly empty as shit. Yeah, it's the utter, like, not just lack, but the absence of consistency.
Yeah.
About not just what demon, like what turns him into a demon, but how many different demon appearances does he have?
Yeah, that. All I can see with that weird middle scene is money being set on fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And time being set on fire. Same in the business, right?
Yeah.
So. If you eliminate him changing into multiple things, you don't have to have that weird-ass scene, which was only there, in my estimation, so that we could break a lady's head open and have a yuck scene.
Yes.
And then for the FX guy to say, I can do the thing.
Yeah, we can do
that. No big deal. Things no big deal.
It's not a problem.
It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Everyone gives John Carpenter his team all his credit. It's no big deal.
Yeah, we can do that. I've done it before. Yeah.
You can eliminate all that.
Yeah.
He turns into... The only one good makeup in the movie.
Yeah.
Well, of the two demons, he's more superior looking for our hero.
Right.
Go with that one. And he changes into smaller aspects of that before the end of where
he gets it always looks like he's building towards that.
Right.
Otherwise, God.
And you don't have to fuck with a whole other makeup for another bad guy when you don't have to have a bad guy.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a bad guy in a romantic comedy.
You don't. It could just be
you have
him.
Problems in romantic comedies.
Yep.
You don't have necessarily villains.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't know what it wants to be, script-wise.
What's so crazy is how Homeboy only has one outfit. She, like, different scene, different outfit. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So much. She, like, her wardrobe, I hope she got to keep it.
She probably did.
I hope she got something out of
it. It probably was
movie.
Hers, if we're being honest.
Actually, yeah. My favorite thing was the number of random cutaways, where it's like they'll just cut to a reaction shot of him laughing weirdly, and then that's it.
I'm telling you, when that scene starts... Where she says, she decides, okay, let's just go back to my place, my huge fucking place in New York, and we'll just go for it. Fuck it.
Go for
so
it.
He turns into a sort of ghouly meets bad taste, bald demon thing, who then is not just a demon thing or whatever, which we never see again.
This particular we never see this form. One,
just starts acting really weird and
somewhat sentient, but not really. Not really. And then climbs out a window going basically whoop 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 whoop. So and the amount of random giggling.
It's just what? And then it's a fever dream until
yeah.
When he comes out of it and they have the cartoonish black smoke on their faces.
This movie is an entire fever dream. It is like,
I mean,
I don't get anything in it.
Where is that review? Where is that fucking thing? Hold on a second. Hold on. 1 second here.
Just love that the hot woman had the fucking knife they needed in her. Oh, wow. We've got that. And oh, man, they put some fucking like, they either just found that in a prop store or they had someone design the worst knife ever. Because that is the worst fucking knife ever. Man, people love to pause before stabbing obvious spots.
There we go.
Okay, bring it.
1987. New York Times. My Demon Lover is about a young man who turns into a wild animal in the presence of the opposite sex. And it's a movie to bring out the best, the beast in us. Its hero and heroine, Kaz, and Denny are painfully cute, are as painfully cute as their names. With Denny, when she first appears wearing a bowler hat and jauntily toting a loaf of French bread, after they meet at a health food restaurant, starts using Fruit Burger as an affectionate nickname. The director's frenetic direction would barely suit a sitcom, let alone a film that also sets out to scare. Yeah, that's a problem. Mr. Lowenthal and the screenwriter, Leslie Ray, use the man-turns-into-demon device to try out a wide, tired, and thoroughly illogical array of makeup tricks, each one sillier than the last. It would seem as if the film this busy wouldn't possibly bore its audience, but that's not the case. The best that can be said for My Demon Lover, which opens today at the Embassy 2 and other theaters, is that the filmmakers have worked overtime shuffling characters, locations, and wrinkled latex mask with horns. Mr. Valentine, who appears in the mask, plays a surprisingly charming vagrant. No, he does not. And who has been mysteriously cursed and appears to borrow almost all of his sketchy, inappropriate mannerisms from the comedian Bobcat Goldthwait, who handles them a lot better. At other times, Mr. Valentine merely widens his eyes and pretends, none too convincingly, to be adorable. Miss Little is in a constant tizzy and never calms down. Fucking accurate.
Yes.
Neither she nor anyone else pays heed to the larger implications of Kaz's condition or worries unduly when he turns into a large, motherly woman whose head is full of yellow goo. The settings range from Greenwich Village, where the spunky Denny has her cluttered career girl apartment, to Central Park, where the action moves to a huge, ominous hilltop castle. By the time the castle appears, it seems no less irritating or misplaced than anything else. My Demon Lover is rated PG-13, blah, blah, blah. So
wow.
That's pretty concise as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it didn't know what the fuck it was.
Yes.
And I think the charm...
Wink.
We had set our level of acceptable so fucking low.
Exactly.
By the time... Like, it is just anybody who's a loser at all must... Like, it's Gary in fucking yeah. Last American Virgin... Yeah. Just take for granted that you're supposed to be on these people's side.
Exactly.
The kids in Porky's, all over. It's fuck off.
They all suck. The all older I get, suck. The worse those kids in Porky's are.
Yeah.
And don't matter what age I am, Gary's the killer.
Yeah. Fucking Ferris Bueller, kind of an asshole.
No, he's a complete asshole.
Mm-hmm.
He's a complete fucking cunt, if yeah. We're being honest. If
we are. He is. And Rooney is the most dedicated educator I've ever seen.
Seriously.
Too bad all of that stuff.
Too bad of all that porn and solicitation of a 17-year-old.
Yeah, you know, he just... Joffrey.
Yeah.
But yeah, the number of characters that you really look back on are like, fuck this guy. Fucking moving violations.
Yeah.
Every character in that movie sucks.
Yes. Yeah.
Why am I supposed to care about Bill Murray's little brother here?
They give us no reason to care about Scott Valentine's
None
character
at all.
Or, frankly, Scott Valentine.
Nope. Not at all.
So
you feel a little bad for the cute girl, but that's about it.
I feel a little bad for a lot of things. I feel bad for her fucking Arrested Development.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her lack of self-esteem or self-worth.
Yep.
That a possessed bum.
Yep. With a saxophone.
With a saxophone. While we're adding insult to injury, yeah. is the best she can do.
And she is in love, all in, right away.
Right away.
Immediately, while saying shit like, I have bad taste in men.
You see this sort of film at the certain age of development, it gives you wildly wrong messages.
Yeah, it really does.
Like, I just want someone to take care of me and someone I can take care of. Yeah, we all do.
That sounds nice.
Basically, but...
You're not finding that here.
No. No. Also, you're in New York City.
Yeah.
So first of all, let's take away some more fucking budget by not putting it in New York City.
Yeah.
We can put it in fucking anywhere in Indiana.
But it has to be in New York City where the pigeons, they all know my name. But yeah, that first off does make it more expensive and it adds nothing.
No. There's a through line through Charlie Lowenthal's work apparently where he has people keep comparing his stuff to sort of a juvenile attempt at Woody Allen stuff.
Yeah.
And if you look at it with that lens, her clothing makes more sense.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're in New York makes all the sense in the world.
It does. You're not wrong. Yeah.
So there are two things that we could have changed. At least one of them.
Yeah.
And saved more money.
Yeah. Again, Chicago would have been cheaper.
Anywhere would have been cheaper.
Fucking Toronto.
Want to know how I know it? $4 million budget and $3.9 million box office.
Exactly, yeah.
I know
for
a fact that we could have at least gotten that budget down where $3.9 would be, you know, we'd be in the fucking black.
Yeah, fuck, I'm sorry, if that thing had been set in L.A.
Fine.
$2.5 million You would have cut $500,000off production cost.
Yeah, you don't. The only reason it's in New York is either it was in the script.
Yeah.
And Mr. Wants to Ape Woody Allen just couldn't help himself.
Right. It's
who, by all accounts, seems like a chipper, well-adjusted fella.
Yeah, but.
But. My heart goes out to him when he has a certain sort of reaction against pretentious art films.
Right.
But that's just another style of film.
Exactly.
You don't have to make the fucking Seventh Seal, pal.
No.
No one does.
Don't get mad that there's someone who enjoys it, though.
That's the thing.
And that's where the shit comes in. It's like...
That's the thing.
For a while, they had some commercial. I forget. I don't even know who the guy is, but apparently there's some, like, sports car show, reality show.
Okay.
That some guy in, like, a leather jacket who's, like, our age got commercials off of being on. And I just remember storming in at some art auction, like, all right, dudes, dudettes, we're going to, like, oh, no, you're not here to fuck up the squares with your rock and roll attitude.
Oh.
No one needs that.
I hate that.
No one needs that.
No. No.
Enough
of that.
Yes. Yes.
Enough of that.
We don't need that shit.
Lovable losers.
Yeah.
This trope is taken to its nth with Kaz.
Because there is nothing fucking redeemable at all about him.
None. Zero. At the end, his arc is, great, I can fuck now.
Yes. Yeah.
And she's down, so I guess good.
I guess you're moving in.
Somebody for everybody. Yeah. Well, yeah. Can't go to your place, pile of trash on Lexington.
Even though now, the only difference between before and now is you have a nicer shirt.
Well, yeah.
It's ruffly.
Yeah.
But for some reason,
the magic gave you a ruffled shirt.
For some reason, you look like you're playing in the Blues Brothers band at the wedding before.
No, you're at the bar. You're one of the Murph and the Magic Tones.
Yes. Yes. That's what
Murph
I'm talking about.
And the Magic Tones.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like a Magic Tone.
He does. He does.
He looks like the roadie for the Magic Tone.
Oh, God. He does.
It's just the worst.
Yeah.
And look, Scott Valentine, God bless you. You had more success as an actor I could ever hope for.
Yes. Yes.
Just because you're short.
Yeah.
Apparently that's a big thing.
That is a big thing.
For romantic leads. I get it.
Yeah.
I don't look like it. Neither does Jim.
Yeah.
We're fine. Yeah. We're not called the film romantic leads.
Yeah. Nope.
But man.
Man. Oh man. Shevitz.
You are just. There are parts of New York that still have your teeth marks on it. In how fucking commedia de arte.
Yes.
You are going for it.
He really, really is.
So much so, it makes the one who plays Little, or her Little is her name,
the
one who plays Denny, look subdued.
She really does. She like, I enjoyed her performance, I think, more.
She asked some great reactions.
Yep.
Because God knows they want some tight shots, some people.
I'm sorry. This is... Any sort of this, and I turn it, it's like being possessed by the devil, only worse. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
That's my favorite reaction from any movie. Oh.
She's like, what do you know?
You took that well.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that happens right before the scene gets really fucking weird.
Real weird. Really weird.
I don't know what else Scott did. And I didn't bother to look it up.
No, no.
Because frankly, his face in this,
oh, yeah,
particularly.
The only person that's worth caring about in this is the hot woman.
Yeah, I agree.
That's it. She gave the best performance.
Yeah.
She had a definite character arc. She committed to a character interpretation and performance.
The only one concerned about all these attacks.
Yeah.
Apparently. Yeah. That great value Kurtwood Smith was not
concerned
about at all.
Like in Kurtwood Melanoma.
Yes. Kurtwood Carcinoma could give a fuck.
Carcinoma Melanoma. Yeah. Oh, dude. His fate, like, Jesus fucking Christ, man. You definitely decided to save money on the makeup department.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's have the women do their own and the men look like that. Now, we got to make Scott Valentine's fucking Steven-esque eyelashes really pop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Make sure his hair looks a little bit more like Yahoo Serious.
Yeah. It's weird because I get that he's got that kind of Stallone hair from back in that. Remember that?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
That long perm looking stuff.
It's like odd sort of spaceball thing.
It really is.
Most of the movie. Until he gets undemonized, and then he has a sort of a mullet
in his
initial turn as a magic tone.
Yeah.
Quickly added into a jog-in scene, probably the most awkward jog-in scene in history of film.
Yeah.
Where his hair is back to just bum.
Can we discuss the tsunami of sexual chemistry that existed between these two characters?
I haven't seen chemistry like that since Jennifer Connelly and Eric Bana in The Hulk.
I think you're right. I think that was a good
comment.
They are
possibly
really,
those two are like 9.5 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to what we're looking at in this thing.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And that was usually my previous marker for a complete and utter lack of chemistry together.
Yeah.
Because those are both beyond quality actors.
Yes.
But there's nothing there between Connelly and Bana.
Oh, yeah.
Zero. Nothing.
Yeah.
And then we have Sub-Zero.
Yep.
Because, holy shit, which makes the awkward, like, teenage makeout party kisses really uncomfortable, dude.
Because, holy Christ, they go for it with those kids. Like,
oh, my God.
I thought Scott Valentine was taking it too far.
No.
And then I saw her mouth, like,
do y'all have, like, an on-screen thing?
Yeah, y'all have to be, you have to be sleeping together offset. That is the only way that is the level, because... Holy Christ, they went for it. And
it is straight up middle school.
Yes, yes. It's weird because they have all the sexual chemistry of a fucking brother-sister combo. He has all of the sexual charisma of a substitute teacher in this movie. It's just nothing there.
Of a fruit burger.
Yes, yeah. A fruit burger. Hey, fruit burger. Hey, I remember when I stole your food after I woke up in garbage.
I'm going to grab you around your waist and pull you to me.
Don't worry about what's on my pants.
I smell like feces.
That's just the truth.
Yeah. He's a deeply, deeply unlikable character.
He really is.
Making her only slightly more likable.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if he wasn't there at all, it was a different, like, our premise.
Yeah.
We need to cast something else.
Oh, hell
we
yeah.
need to do some shake up here.
Yeah.
Because this isn't working.
Mm-hmm. She would be gone, and it would just be the attractive woman.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because that's a woman who just as built in this movie is someone you could see being attracted to.
And someone with that was clearly more physical attributes and more attractive in every way that a guy with a demon problem would have an issue with.
I mean,
he'd be going after her because he's the horn dog in our in our script.
Yeah.
But then it turns out she's has a heart of gold and and then he starts falling in love with her. Well, not saying I couldn't fall in love with someone like Fidget.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to approach you first.
Yeah. Like, Helen, if you look at the moment she had with the guy who ended up being the killer when he was walking by, I'm sorry, but now come on, sit down. Like, okay,
that's showing
depth of character. Oh, my God, that she's interesting.
Right.
And it's one of those where I hate that she is the hot character because she's also the interesting character.
Correct. It's not just because she's hot.
Yeah, it helps.
It helps, but it's, yeah.
And they really were, there are movies where I could see them being like, no, Scott Valentine's charm is going to sell this.
This was around the same time they just rolled dice with premises on them.
Oh, hell yeah.
It feels like, well, what do we got? I got a six, so we're casting Jeff Goldblum and a Cyndi Lauper, and what's it going to be about? Vibes!
Yeah, high concept. It was all high concept. Like, we want to do... Yeah, we want to do Beverly Hills Cop, but instead he's going to be a psychic. And now here's fucking Bronson Pinchot. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So much crap. Do you remember the movie Heartbreak Hotel where...
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had that post. I got a lot of VHS posters back when I got back from Panama.
Of course.
Fuck yeah, I'm gonna get... And I watched every movie because being very limited on films, fuck yeah. What happened to Charlie Schlatter?
I don't know.
The last thing he did that I knew of was the Ferris Bueller TV show.
Right.
Which the only thing that came out of that was Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
Even though it did have Amy Dolans.
That's true. Well, he can be my my Kaz.
Yeah. Oh, Charlie Schlatter is Kaz. He is one of those. I think the sin he committed was being a little too short.
Well, that's true. Well, hey, look, Tom Cruise has a career.
That's true. That is true. Man, he also has they're not slaves, but Sea Org people to do stuff around his house.
True.
Sorry, I just felt the need to.
And apparently courting the membership of Hulk Hogan these days. He just married a Scientologist, apparently.
Whoa.
And been shots of him around where I get, he already lives in Florida, so it's a jaunt over there.
He doesn't just live in Clearwater, brother. He lives in Clearwater, brother.
Clearwater, brother.
He lives right next to gold. Flag.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's right in the heart of that. Julie used whenever she's in that area, she sends pictures of anything Scientology. She can't. She's
That's
like,
amazing.
I can't fucking believe it'd be here. She's like, she's gotten Pokemon Go shit from Scientology buildings and stuff. Like, oh my God, that's
trillionaire Hubbard, amigo.
Yeah, Terrell. Yeah. Jesus, Hulk Hogan becoming a Scientologist.
I need that in my life.
If that guy goes clear, brother,
I need it.
Will he finally have
on a recent interview? Yeah. It's such some random thing on Instagram, but apparently he quit drinking. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Okay,
all right, because you can't be clear if you're
drinking
all the time. I guess.
And hey, maybe that gets him back into WWE, and they can get all of WWE.
I don't know about that. I know, no, no chance. But they can get all of Terry.
Oh yeah,
because wherever the sign out says free lunch.
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, man. The way they would treat Terry, too. Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Holy shit. I need him to be, what are those things called?
The auditor?
Yeah.
Him auditing?
Oh, God. They're going to, if that thing worked at all, if it had any reaction to falsities, it would just look like a Hiroshima in Florida.
Like, bam, 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 bam.
Shit.
He's spiking that shit like
crazy. You
have
met your fucking match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, brother.
Is he lying or does he actually believe it?
Oh, now what do you mean there, brother?
Holy shit.
There's a lot of different things that can mean, and that's how you know.
It is.
Because sometimes you're clear, brother, and then you're not clear.
Brother?
Brother.
Brother?
You know? Huh? Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's... This is like that era of filmmaking where I don't know if it was just prevalent or if we were just at the age where we were watching everything.
I think we're at the age of watching everything.
Yeah.
There's always been plenty of hello.
Yeah.
Plenty of fluff and yeah. And
plenty of garbage.
Garbage, but I don't know. I remember the being better.
Yeah.
I or at least more coherent.
That's the thing is I remember viewing a lot more of these movies as coherent narratives when I was a kid than I can recognize now. Because now yeah. I'm looking at it like, what the fuck was the story that we just watched?
Right.
There right. wasn't really a story that we just... I mean, the strongest narrative was the serial killer. And even then was like, they're not really going into anything on this. It's...
No.
What the fuck's going on? There was no... It literally, the number of movies that were just a collection of scenes.
Yes. Yes.
Like, holy crap. These were like,
I know how to suss the plot out for this to make any sense. Is this fucking Turk 182?
Yes.
What's going on? What's going on here?
Why did any of this happen and why do we care?
Right.
What is ultimately to be gained or lost? Oh, so now he can get laid, but he's still home. Oh, thank God. And thank God.
Yeah, that whole thing. Why is he homeless?
Yeah, we needed something that made him fixable. That's why the ladies' man who falling in love made him, you know, because before, hey, so if I'm just dumping my clip on the rag.
Right. Is he sort of the character like Mel Gibson in What Women Want?
Yes.
That worked.
Yeah.
At least at the box office.
Yes, you are correct.
So
yeah,
he could just be that.
Right.
Before he learns to be, before you know, he learns more in touch not with to, his yeah. emotions.
Is he going to be fucking Dustin Hoffman in Tootsie?
Right, right.
People enjoyed Tootsie. Right.
They did. They yeah. really did.
He did an endive salad that right. the critics are still talking about.
So.
Oh, man.
You don't have to watch this out there.
You don't.
But we did it for you.
There's so many other things that you could watch for free.
So, I don't know. This is definitely knows what I'll pull out of my bag next time.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it because there is a beauty to a movie that is just this like incompetent.
There you go.
Because that's like there are bad movies and then there is why did you even try here?
Yeah. Funny fluff films.
Yeah.
One that's particularly hilarious. Crazy People.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
oh
heavy.
Oh my God, no.
But fucking hilarious.
Sometimes when it lands, it just fucking lands. And it's a difficult thing to crack, but the thing that you have to have is someone who's trying to change or who needs to change and has to overcome something for a real reason.
Something.
Not literally, this is just a teenager trying to get laid on prom night movie.
It would have worked better with a teenager.
Yeah, it would have worked so much better.
But way
this
better
dysfunctional man-child
it.
Who, like, again, it has, I think it has to be a fight with the demon because that's the only thing that explains why are you hitting on all these women when you know you can't do nothing about it.
Yeah, and if that's somewhere in the script, it was not portrayed.
It was
by
not
your
portrayed
actor.
At all. It was at not all. Portrayed in the narrative. It was not portrayed in anything.
No.
It needed, and there were things that hinted at it and would have made so much shit better where it's like, I'm fighting against the horny demon.
Right. Which would have really worked better with a teenager because that's essentially what teenage boys are.
Yeah. Yeah. Something unleashing the teenage horn. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And now we already have a bigger market.
How
fuck
awful.
That I hate when we do this.
Yep.
Or something like this and we make it more lucrative.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yep. Oh, it's terrible. It's like I had a friend of mine I used to work with as a son, and oh man,
no more.
I had to warn her about the shit coming up. See you later.